before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God I serve. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. Oh, what a mighty God.
is a mighty God. I'm telling you, I have not had a smile on my face today like this. I'm giving all honor and praises to God. I am just so grateful. I am so thankful again. You know, I mean, just listening to the message, the past three messages, they have been so inspirational to my heart. I mean, it's just to know that I am perfect, to know that I am one of his children, to know that I am a believer. I am just so grateful and thankful. I just want to give praises to the Lord, letting me come here another day. Thank you.
We're getting line quick. Some of you jumping. You know, I really appreciate this word. You know, we overcome by our understanding.
Amen.
Our understanding. It's not God comes in some supernatural way and he's going to fix things for you. He gives you an understanding. You overcome by that understanding. You know, when my children were little, I was thinking about this on the way over. You know, they, you know, kids are. They pester and pester. And, you know, he's bothering me. He's bothering me. Oh, he's bothering me first, you know. And you go over there and mom and dad takes care of it for a while. But after a while, I remember telling my kids, if he's bothering you, hit him. He'll stop. You know? It sounds terrible, but I'm not going to go whining. You know, when they mature a little bit, you know, you say, well, take care of it. You know what to do. You know, you can balance it. I'm not saying, you know, before, I don't know. It never gets settled. But now, you know, the younger is bothering you, hit them. They'll quit. You know, and the devil's the same way. If we just hit him with our understanding, he'll quit. You know, I got this rooster. You know how roosters are. They get kind of cocky sometimes. Most of the time, he's minding his own business. But he'll come around, he'll turn around, he's jumping at me. You know, he's rearing all up and everything. He's this big, you know, like he's going to do something. You know, and so I'll jump back at him. He'll jump at me, and I'll jump at him again. And we'll sit there and dance for a while. And he'll get up like he's going to spur me. Can't do nothing. And sometimes I catch him mid-flight, and I kind of help him fly, you know. He comes back, you know, and the devil's the same way.
Yep.
He's nothing. He can't hurt me.
Amen.
He's not big enough.
Amen.
Jesus took his stinger out of Calvary.
Amen.
He's got nothing to hurt this bride at all.
Amen.
You know, this bride is now a small child, like my grandchildren. That rooster run them all over the place. But not me. I'm a full-grown man. I'm mature. I know what I can do. I know what he can do. And this bride has got that place of maturity that Satan is not even a threat to the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's by our understanding. Amen. It's not some supernatural, some kind of something. You know, it's just by understanding. I know better. I know better. I know where he is. I know what he can do. I know what he can't do. And I know who I am. And I know what I can do.
Amen.
And that is everything to me.
Amen.
That's a real freedom. That's a real peace. That's something that nobody's ever known till this day.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to be part of that. And, you know, a lot of times I don't know, times pass, and a lot of times Christian, denominational Christians and things, you know, they all the time blaming God for something or wanting God to do something or blaming the devil for something. And God and the devil both sitting there shrugging their shoulders. They didn't. What's he talking about? We neither one did it. It's just you. It's you and your silliness, you know. I remember one time a fellow come to Brother Childers and having a little trouble, this and that. Brother Childers told him what to do, and he said, well, just pray. He said, pray nothing. You know what to do. You know what to do. It's on you now. Don't look for God to answer. Don't look for the devil. You know he's going to trick you. You already know what to do. Do what you know to do. Thank God for revelation.
Amen.
Sister Michelle.
Amen. I heard my sister before me. I just want to thank God for being here. I was actually literally driving sleep. So I just thank God that we made it. Everything's okay. I'm glad to be here. But one more thing that I just really, really was on my heart, what Brother Don said, that is just kind of help, is it was this week it came to me that you can't start the conversation that Satan's a liar. He already knows he's a liar.
Amen.
What are you doing? He said, you're already telling me what I know I am. You started out with the word, and you stand on the word. He only responds to the word. If you're having depression, there's scriptures in there about depression. You're having problems with whatever it is. If scripture's in there, you got to stand on the word. It's not telling him he's a liar. He already knows that. So he was like, what are you doing? You're not bluffing me. You're telling me what I do. Now it's the solution of what God told you to do. You know, God told you to stand on his word. Every time he came to Jesus didn't say, oh, you a liar. He said, the word said, it is written. And that's how we have to be in this day. You know, we don't have to take two steps back because he's a liar. That doesn't even make sense. That's exactly right. Be ready, be armed and guard with the word. And that's the only thing that matters. And then something else that hit me this week, and I went home and I asked my husband, I said, am I really hearing this okay? I was driving and it came to me that having faith is just a revelation of who you are. And it said, well, I find faith in this day. And it's like, yes, because I'm finding my word. The people that know who they are. And that's where the faith comes from, the understanding of who you are. That's what does it. It's a revelation. It's all based on the revelation of who we are and our day in this message. Once you stand on that, it's over. There's no fight. You're not even in a fight. You're not. We already won. He already won it for you. So it's just, I'm just so thankful for being here. I'm so thankful for this revelation and having a balance that the rest of this stuff don't matter. It was things going around and around and around and around all week, craziness. And God said, don't take it too serious because you got a job to do, a real job to do. This right here is just kind of busy work. It just keeps you busy. And that's it. It just keeps you busy, keep you meeting people. You just keep walking every day. But the true job that we have is get the day. And that's it. Everything else is going to pass away. You don't hold stock in that. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you.
I just wanted to thank God for being here. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I came to church with a thankful heart. You know, and I want to thankful for my prayers already being answered. You know, like, I don't even have to, like, keep praying and keep praying. I'm like, you know what, Lord, thank you. I know you've done it. You've already taken care of it. You know, whether it's what I want or what you want, you know, it's always right. You know, I'm just so thankful. And I also want to thank God and ask for prayer for one of my coworkers. You know, she just out of the blue, she just texts me. And we're not even, I mean, we're close, but we're not close like that. And she just spilled all her desires to me. And I just, you know, it's like she said, pray for me, send me positive thoughts, anything that you got, just send it my way. And I was like, you know what? He said, where two or three are gathered. And I said, you know what? I just wanted to pray for my friend. And, you know, the battle's in the mind. And, you know, and she just battles and she battles and she battles and she has anxiety attacks and she's going through a divorce and it's just a lot on her right now. And I just like, you know what, Lord, take care of it. She's been good to me. You know, amen.
Brother Kalen, you got time for one more?
Yeah.
All right, right on. I'm just so happy to be here right now. You know, I just wanted to get up real quick and just say how grateful I am for this body and just for how things are just operating, how God's just kept us. And, you know, we're layered in every aspect. There's not going to be, I just look around and there's no downtime. You know, we're not waiting on one person in the sound room. We're not waiting on somebody to lead song service. We've got a depth chart in here, and I just appreciate the little things that God gives us, and you know, being able to wake up this morning, you know, yes, to have one more opportunity to just be able to go out there and allow people to, you know, just meet God in flesh and give them an opportunity, you know, and I thank God for this understanding because it just supersedes everything that could come at me. Yeah. I mean, really, it doesn't have a chance against me. When I get up in the morning, Satan's just in trouble. I mean, he's just in trouble. And when I come outside, it's like, oh no, he's out and about. I don't even want him out here. He's a menace. And he's got to attack people I love just to come after me because he just doesn't know what to do with me. Never has this a group of people have been this so strong, just so strong. The word just embedded them so much. They are the very thing. He said, I'm the very victory of God. The very victory. That means it's finished. It's been done. And we're just, you know, I love, you know, I've been telling people this. I've been saying, you know, I'm talking from a whole different day. Like, you're not even caught up to where I'm at. Like, I'm speaking from some place that is timeless,
that when I start talking to you about this, when I start giving you this water, this is that water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. You will just get it and it will be one with you. Oh my goodness, we have the power to make them sons of God. Such authority that this body has, and we just take it and because it's ours. It belongs to us. Okay. For so long, we didn't have the harmony in here. And the harmony now is so sweet. I don't see another scripture. I don't see another scripture that's keeping us here. But you know what? While we're here, we will just continue on. You know, I appreciate, you know, because I was driving home and I saw like just a heavy police presence in Fairborn. And I'm like, Lord, just thank you. You know how protected we are? Just whoever lives in Fairborn, I'm sorry for you, those of you who don't live here, but we are so protected here. There's something, it's special, you know, and just the little things, you know, and we just, sometimes we just live right past it, you know, we live right over it, just like some people just read right over scripture. I mean, I read right over most of the scriptures that's been coming forth, and now I got to look at it again, because it's a new scripture, it's a new Bible, so I'm just grateful, and I just wanted to be on record and just identify.
I'm happy to be here as well. So I thought Courtney was talking, and I thought I'm going to talk to her about this after church. You know, I'll just meet with her. But I'm like, no, God answered some prayers that you guys helped me pray for. And so he's like, why would you keep that to yourself? Sometimes, you know, how you pray and you've got people that need you and stuff. I just forget about it. I forget that God answers prayers. But do you remember my friend? She was going through the bitter divorce. And, I mean, it was horrible. People that are, like, you know, going through that, my heart goes out to them. But the other person stopped fighting, gave her everything, even the child. So, I mean, it does happen. And I told my friend, hindsight, when all this is said and done, I had no idea. God didn't give me any direction, but I know what peace I have because I always look back on my own hindsight. So I said, when all this is said and done and we look back with hindsight, we see 2020, what God has done. Because she believes in God and she loves God. But anyway, it really worked out. Just thankful to be here. I was talking to Doug on the way up, and I babysit one day a week, and it's on Wednesdays. It wasn't, but I'm telling you, I am whooped today. And I just remember testimonies. People say it's always going to happen on a Wednesday, you know, and I'm not going to change her schedule or anything. I'm like, it's all right. If the baby wants to get up at 5 in the morning, it's okay. If I have to make a million breakfasts and lunch and snacks, it's all right. I have little grandkids that love me, want to spend time with me. I have a blessed life. And it, like you guys said tonight, even if I don't get my way, and I don't, I'm not a princess or anything like that. I'm just thankful to be here. I get to hear what God's got to say. I get the word. I'm not on antidepressants. Someone was talking about that. I don't have anxiety, you know, and I know a lot of people that do. So I'm just thankful to be here among the...
Okay, I was fighting, getting up. Or not. I was actually hoping you would cut it off. And so I said, if I moved over there, I don't have an excuse. So I just wanted to get up and not sit on God. I don't know when the last time I testified, but I don't want to count how many times it is. I just want to speak when he tells me to speak. And I'm just so thankful that he brought me to this revelation. I mean, I know you say rest. I feel like I'm cheating. I'm resting way too much. And, you know, I'm reading the Bible and praying. But after, I think it was Sunday night, you said, it's not going to come that way. I'm already on the bus. I'm on the bus reading the Bible. And that was just like, stop it. Stop trying to do what's not in your control. He's going to give you the revelation when it's time. He brings it to me, and I can't make it happen. And I'm just thankful that to know that I'm in this day, the eighth day. It's our day in this message, but the eighth day means so much more to me. These last few messages is just like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. You know, I got the earthly side. We all deal with that. But I'm not even going to let that bother me, because I do. I really do. I'm like, I can't do anything right. But I know one thing I can do right. I can come here. I can say amen. I can clap my hands. I can testify. I can try to sing. But what I can't do is do it myself. Amen.
You'll be the last one once this morning.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I made it to the mic. I'm not going to sit on God either. God brought me through COVID. And my watchman on the wall even said, take a test. I didn't know I had it. But I thank God that God knew. I thank God that I have a revelation that I don't have to, I can just lay aside every weight that so easily besets others. I don't have to worry. I have a rest. I have something when I walk through those doors, I can slide into that safe spot. And I can lay aside everything. And I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for what God's brought me through. Because when I jumped up here and said, you know, nothing's going to hold me down, that I got this silly COVID, never had it before, I was like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let that be what my testimony is. I'm an overcomer. God's brought me through by this word. And every day that, and no matter what comes my way, God's going to bring me through.
Amen. Sing page 141 and Only Believe. It's key of G. 141.
Yep.
Yes. Practice tomorrow at 7 for the young kids. And then we have February 11th at 6 p.m. is the Fellowship of the Main House. February 24th at 4 p.m. is the Reptile Expo. And then March 30th and 31st will be the Easter meeting in Kentucky. So 141. No evening service?
There's no Bible study.
No Bible study. Yeah. Yep.
If you get over there to the fellowship house over there, the main house, then you'll be good. There's nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood, yeah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious sin. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Singing, oh, precious is the blood that I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
Jesus. Amen. Amen. I wanted to be proactive. I didn't want to get crusty behind a chair. But before I start, I want the young kids to come up here. I had a prayer request, and I think we all could benefit from it. So I want everyone that's in grade school, high school, I want to come up here, and the loved ones come up here. Come on. Anyone who needs a prayer, you say we do it on Sunday night, you know, spoken or unspoken. This right here is the church of the future. You know, and it's the devil's sneaky if he's going to try and kick the kids. If he can't get me, he's going to try to get my loved ones. So I want to pray for our, you know, we talked about the that token being applied to that thing before midnight, and it's after midnight. So I want to just reach out, and I want to touch those in love. So let's, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you. You said where two or three are gathered, and we are a mighty bride, Lord. I want to reach out, and I want to touch our little children, Lord. You said restore the joy of our faith, Lord. Keep them, guard them, and guide them, Lord. Touch them as they go out into Satan's Eden, Lord. Lift their shoulders up, Lord. Take the baggage off of them, Lord. Let them look at each other for guidance, Lord. These are the best friends you ever have. That's what Brother Moore said. That's what the Word says, and we will hold to the Word. That's what we believe. Lord, thank you for this fellowship that we have to come in here today, Lord. Thank you for guiding us, Lord. And thank you for a foundation in which we can base our lives off of, Lord. Keep us, guard us, and guide us. Lord, let them walk mightily in those footsteps, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Lift their minds up. Lift their hearts, Lord. And let them walk unburdened by Satan, Lord. Remind them who they are, Lord. And if they have questions, let them know that we have a mighty body here that they can ask those questions, Lord. They are not alone. Satan wants to isolate them, and I will not let him isolate them. Lord, we are united more than we've ever been united, Lord. They hear our words, and they say amen. So, Lord, thank you for what you've done, and I just want to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't want to, you know, it's funny, everyone came up. But that's a body for you. I know, it's just, I was thinking, oh, Lord, what I'm going to say? There's so much that could be said. Well, you know, following up these messages, you know, talked about the manifested seed, talking about the Abrahamic seed. And I was like, you know what? I was trying to think, go through things and try to complicate it. But I was like, you know what? It will come to me because I believe. I'm actually going to title this, For Those That Believe. So I'm actually going to start with the scripture. I'm going to try to read the scripture. Because when I read it, you know, we read things a little bit differently now. It's broken down a little bit differently because, you know, I feel that now I can read between the lines, like Brother Childers always said. So I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. I have it copy and pasted, but I'll give you some time. All right. All right. For this cause also thank ye God without ceasing. Without ceasing. I love that. Without ceasing.
Amen.
Not stopping. Constantly. Just like his word.
Amen.
Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. So I didn't hear men talking. I heard God talking. But as it was the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That word, this is what is titled to us, is thus that believe. You know, we can come in here, and if you don't believe, you'll miss the whole entire thing. I always remember the thing, you know, Brother Moore always said, you know, I don't see any miracles. Holding Michael. You know, the thing, though, is we look and we put our carnality on what God is going to do.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, Brother Moore had told me, I got up actually, I think, the other service saying, like, I don't know why I did this job. This is loud. I didn't know why I took this job. You know, it's harder, more work, more patience, longer hours. And I was like, well, Brother Moore said it. And I was like, I have faith in it. I got a call from my coworker. They shut the clinic down and let her position go. Let her go. So more work is better than no work. So I thank God for, you know, an ear to hear. But it's by that revelation, it's by that understanding, it's by that seed that I can even have the ability to believe. Amen. You know, and I have all these scriptures, and I'm going to try to get into them, because there's so much to them. You know, over here with Luke 8 and 11, talks about the parable of the seed.
And the parable of the seed, you know, there's a lot in it, and I'm going to be honest with you, when I try to read the Bible with the ye's and these, I struggle. I really do. But I love what he says here. He says, the seed is the word of God. Amen. The word of God. He said, this is a parable of it. That means it was a story to some. You know, it's a story to some. Some people hear it, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, it's a seed. Well, yeah, well, it's probably like an apple seed. Just like in the garden, it was an apple. No, it was a sex act. It was a seed. Which part are you from? Amen. For those by the wayside that hear, they cometh the devil and taketh away the word of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which then they hear the word, receive the word with joy, and have no root, which will fall for belief. Time of temptation, fall away. You got the make-believe, you got the unbeliever. But there's a seed that can't help but believe. I love that, because he talks about, you know, you're not going to be caught up in the pleasures of the world. You're not going to be caught up in the riches. That's how some people look for that. Some churches are there for the numbers and for the glory and for the clout, but that low in that Bethlehem, that manger, greatness came to him. You know, it's funny, because the shepherds came to the manger. You know, I love that. But then it goes on down further. That's the thing about it. You gotta keep going. He says, I love this, where he says, no man, when he had litten a candle, cover it with a vessel. No man. You're not going to light a light and cover it up. No. You're not going to catch a man on fire and try to tell him to sit down. He says, for nothing is secret. Nothing is secret. Nothing's secret from us. We know what was done. We know what will be. We don't even question it. It's what it's done. It's we're not even arguing about it, whether in the eighth day or not. We said, manifest neither anything is hid, nor shall that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed thereof how you hear, for whoever so hath, to him shall be given. So if you have it, you have it. If you're part of it, you're part of it. If you have the faith, you have the faith. If you don't, well, it says here, you don't. It says, whoever have it, not. So we hold to God by his word. You know, they talk about Hebrews 11. He says, you know, the evidence of substance of things unseen. That's what faith is. I love when we break it down what the words mean, because words have power, just like God's words have power. It says substance. That's the definition. It's the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists, and things that are tangible. That's a big word. That's a $5 word. What's tangible mean? Tangible means clear and definite, real. That means you may not be able to see it. I don't need a reason to see it. You can't see the oxygen in the air, but you still believe that it's there. You still believe it. You're not questioning it. That's what I love what Brother Moore always says. I'm preaching to believers now. There was a time where you couldn't say that. We were arguing over, you know, the Godhead, all over the dogmas and the, you know, we're here. We're in the eighth day. There's no more work to be done. We're not arguing about it. We're sitting here like, oh, I'm so glad we're in the eighth day. Okay, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Amen. Oh, I'm drinking water that you'll never thirst again. Yeah, I know, I'm drinking it too. You know, I'm taking my loved ones. Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, Satan's kicking my kids. I won't stand for that. I won't stand for that. Talking about that little chicken. That chicken raises its too much, you'll eat it. You'll eat it. You mess around too much, you don't need it. There comes a point. There comes a point in time where we need a manifestation. It's all fun and games. It's all good to talk. But God always manifests his word. Amen. There's not a time that you see in the Bible where he talks. And I have scriptures. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words won't pass away. God's very eternal words. He'd rather have the earth, which he in Genesis created over 7 days, to pass away, the heavens to pass away, before it makes him a liar. God won't be a liar. God will not be made a liar. You know, that's Satan's job. You know, it's by faith we hear those promises. Amen. It's by faith that we hear those promises. It's by the faith we have that we hold to those promises. We walk by faith. And we walk by faith now because it's like second nature. Or one could say a new nature. It's a new nature. It's not an old nature. We're not walking by, because the old man would want rationality. He would want you to tell, well, I need, where'd you get that scripture? Where'd you get that quote? I don't even care. As far as I'm concerned, Brother Moore said it February 1st, 2024. That's as far as I need as far as quoting. That's the thing, though. In the eighth day, we're not arguing over it. It is because it is. I love that it says, you know, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Word hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since Genesis, and it goes all the way over to Revelations. And if you believe that Word, Brother Branham says, if you can punctuate every word with an amen, that makes you a believer. That makes you a believer. I love that, though, is because we can also bring it back, because I'm not a minister. But I tell you what, in Acts 8:30, he says, how can I understand if it's not broken down to me? How can you understand if you sit at home? You can't get it. You have to find where God's at in this day and age. You can't sit. You can't even get out there and try to read about it. Because what you'll do is you'll be like, well, Philip was talking to Esaias. I mean, it was just for that. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? He said, some man. Well, it can't be any man. But Esaias knew that, because that's why he even asked the question. He was like, well, you got to tell me. You got to break it down to me. That's why you're here. Amen. He desired that Philip would come. And he desired that Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. Yeah. He knew where God was at. Right. It doesn't take much. I love the fact what we're talking about Sunday night's child's bread. That's why I want to keep it simple. Amen. It's child's bread. Because I wanted to make it to where it's not so complicated. I'm not trying to sit here and develop a new revelation. The revelation's the same. The same it was in 63. We have just more information.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But I love this, though, is I was just thinking about these things. Now, if you haven't done something like this, it's actually quite nice. At first, it was nerve-wracking. But it makes you read. It makes you it makes you really focus and have a conversation with God. Because what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to get out of the way. You come in with, you know, I always bring my seasoning. Now you have to bring a dish. So it's a little extra work. But you know what? It's good. Because what you're reading is you're reading the testimonies that your brothers did. You know, what they had, I love what Brother Moore said. He said they had that piece of bread, but for everything that they had, they believed it. So if they were here with the full loaf, it'd be the same thing. They would say amen to every single word because they were believers. Amen. And that's the thing, though, as a believer, God recognizes God. I always like this analogy. When you're about to lift a heavy weight, and Jay knows this, what happens is your body says, oh, you can't do it. Your mind's like, well, you can try, but you'll probably fail. But in deep and deep, I got to do this. It's not going to lift itself. And you're going to push yourself. You're going to push yourself, just like this body has pushed itself. I love the fact that, you know, when we talk about the make-believer and the unbeliever, they'll never even last. They can't even make it up there. We're the eagle age, because the eagles go so high, make-believers can't even get up there. The unbeliever can't get up there. So that's what I was thinking. I was sitting here trying to read these notes, and I got that text message. I'm like, no way, Satan. We're better than that. I will not stand by. I'm not going to limit myself. I mean, some people can limit themselves. Are you talking about all that Christ was, all that God was, he poured into Christ? All that Christ was, he poured into the bride. You say you're part of the bride, but yet we're going to sit up here and limit ourselves to what we have. We have every living, breathing word, the same word that was in Christ that we can speak. We're supposed to speak the dead up. But we're over here inconvenienced about small things. We're inconvenienced about child's bread. I won't be inconvenienced. I will refuse to let Satan. I refuse to let him even think that he has the opportunity. I get a kick out of it, because when he gets up and starts acting up, I know I need to do something. If he says, well, you probably should sit down, well, I'm going to stand up. Brother Bram said, go 100% the opposite way. He said, it's not a complicated thing. We make it complicated. We try, you know, it says, restore, you know, he said, my unbelief. I can't even think about it until he even gives me the revelation on it. Until then, it's speculation. Until I have a revelation of the body change, and at that, it's a body. It's happened. It's history. But I love the fact that it gives you an opportunity to talk to God, because all God wants is that that avenue. He wants that way in. He says, I already got my foot in the door. Now, you have two options. You can sit back there. It could be a bump on the log. Or you can do what I asked. And if you do what she asked, he'll bless you. Just like when Christ went through there, he could have, you know what? I don't want to do this. I could have been a bump on the log. But I had a job to do. I had a job to do. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the thing, though, is we sit there and we try to put, well, I'll give God my Wednesdays and I'll give my Sundays and you know, that's too much. Brother Branham said, if you only believe, but you have to have something in you to believe. You can't even try to manifest something if there's not anything in you to manifest. That's what I love about this, is because when we talk about being believers, we should look at each other, really look at each other like we're looking at God in flesh. And I'll be honest, I'll be the first person to say, I don't always do that. I get stuck up on situations and the flesh, you know, the mind, the memories. But you know what? When we come in here, this is an opportunity to step into eternity. Amen. Every time I walk in these doors, it's an opportunity where I can be amongst believers. Amen. You're amongst one another. You're amongst like-minded people. Right. I take this very, very seriously. Yeah. I get up and I did the scriptures and I did the readings. But I tell you what, that just reminds me of who I am. Because I'm over here like, well, hold up a second. Jesus did this? This is a red letter. What am I doing? I'm over here worried about finances? This man walked around and hung out with prostitutes and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, what have I done? But you know what? I honestly believe it's by this revelation, this strength, this unity that we're having, this joining the bride, because he says they heard that shout. That shout's that revelation. They heard that voice. That voice is our voice. They hear us saying, they can't help but say amen. When we say, come on, little bride, it's time to go, they're going to be like, amen, it's time to go. They're not going to sit there and be like, well, I need, you know, three more minutes. Come on, we can do this. Just give me a little more time. No, it will be by a revelation. And that revelation, what I love about that is once you get a revelation, it's revealed to you. A revelation of a body change is the body change. And if we're already in the midst of the body change, then what else is there? There just has to be a manifestation of it. But I love that, because you can only say that to a believer. You can't say that to anybody else. You say that, well, hey, you know, hey, Johnny, I'm in the middle of a rapture. He's like, what? Like the stuff on TV? No. That's what they do. They put media, Satan's system on it. You know, and I love this, because I talked about what a manifestation is. It's the public display of emotion or feeling or something theoretical that's been made real. It's all something until it's made real. I love that, because, you know, he won't let anything pass away. He hold on to these promises. He says, if we say in the beginning God was in the Word, and the Word was God, and God won't let his promises pass away, and we're the bride, we've made ourselves ready, then what else is there? Why are we over here sitting there and be like, well, you know, I'm struggling. Why are we struggling? I ask myself that, why am I struggling? And if you really ask yourself, if you really have that conversation with yourself, you're like, there's not a good reason. Because you'll be like your kids. You'll be there having that conversation. Well, why'd you do it? I don't know. That's not a good reason. That's not a good reason. Yeah, that's not a good reason. Because God said, you're perfectly and wonderfully made. God said, all things work together. He didn't say, and that's promises. And we're going to sit here and be like, well, you know, I'm having a rough day. I'm going to be defeated. Why? Why be defeated? Amen. We should be the happiest group of people. Amen. We should walk in here. We should, Satan comes up like, all right, come on. No, no, get back. You're over here. We're about to call up a body change. The dead's already here. It's already been done. I was thinking about they talked about the shout, the trump. All that stuff's been done. All we're waiting for is to see my loved ones. Amen. All I got to do is just go just one step higher. Go one, just open up my eyes, Lord. Unveil it. Show me the revelation. Show me the revelation. You already said you would do it. You already said it would be done. So all I'm waiting for is you to do it. But the thing, though, is it also says you have to prophesy again. I have to prophesy again. It's already been said. It's already been said. The work's already been done. But I still all have to do is say, you know what? Come on, little bride. And I'll be the first person to say, you know, sometimes I let my flesh get in the way. I'll speak for myself. I don't know. No one else does. That's just me. I let my flesh get in the way. I get inconvenienced. I get busy. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to distract you. He wants to make sure that you're, oh, well, you got to do this. You got this thing to do. You got this thing to do. No. I'll catch myself. I'm like, uh-uh, Seth. Nope. Come on, little bride. It doesn't take much. It's not a huge, I'm not dropping to my knees, and I'm not, all right, guys, I need 15, 20 minutes for this prayer closet. I'm like, come on, little bride. Come on. I start calling by name. Come on, Sister Alice. Brother Childers. You know their name. You know their name. Who else? I know. Come on, Wesley. Come on, Branham. We know their names. We're not sitting there acting like, well, I mean, I get, whenever you're ready, Lord, I guess, it's up to you. You said we'd be changed in a moment of twinkling an eye. You promised. So if it's already done and we're already in the midst of it, I think it's time to go. The world condition, the world knows. The world tells a big picture. The climate's messed up. The world condition's messed up. The financial system's messed up. Everything's messed up. Israel. I'm like, well, I mean, they say if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it might be a duck. So, when I say it looks like a rapture, and everyone looks at them, I tell my kids, oh, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. They're like, what? I'm like, are you shocked? There eventually has to be a time where we change. There eventually has to be a time where we get such a bright revelation, when we turn that last turn to where we just, oh, I'm going to be changed. And it will happen quick, and you won't even know what happened until you're sitting on the other side waiting for everybody else. And once that time's gone, I love what Brother Jay said, you're not even convinced about the 3.5 years. It's just, oh, hey, welcome to the wedding supper. Come on in. I'm not worried about the order in which it happens. I just know I have a promise of a body change. I'm not worried about, I'm not caught up in if it's 3.5 years, is it 7 years. We're in the eighth day. That's what that means, is you stepped out from the trying to find the sixes and sevens into finding eternity. But I love that, because you couldn't even find that if you didn't believe. You couldn't even believe if you didn't have a seed, if you didn't have eternal representation. And we take these things so lightly, like the serpent seed and the predestination. That's child's bread to us now, but for some people, that's what? I was predestined? I wasn't born on a certain day? No. It wouldn't even make sense. If you were born on a certain day, that means that God was temporal. I mean, that means that he had a start date. You have a start date, you have to have an end date. That's the way it works. If you start, you end. But if you're eternal, nothing can affect you. I love that, because, I start thinking like that inside man, he's eternal. I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm not going to be bothered by the conditions of the world. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to let my friends bring me down. And I'm not going to let anybody bring me down. Anybody. Because, you'd be shocked. I grew up with brothers I thought I was going to live with my whole life. We were taught the same thing. We ate the same thing. I thought we lived the same way. We did live the same way. But you know what? That's the thing. They ate it, and they were happy and joyful, but they fell back. They fell apart. But you know what? That still didn't affect that joy of that seed. Still didn't affect it. You still have love for them, and that's part of being Christ-like. That's part of being a Christian, is you have love for them. You don't judge them, but it's because you believed. It's because you believed. But I love the fact that you can't even believe unless you are a manifested seed. You can't even have faith. You can't even have revelated faith unless you have something to manifest. Because Brother Moore said Sunday, he says you can be a seed and not manifest anything. Right. You can be a dead seed. Right. I've tried to plant stuff, and not all seeds grow. You might have some that grow, and they grow really nice. But I was like, I knew I planted a tomato there. I know there was supposed to be a tomato, but the conditions weren't right. Amen. The conditions, well, they were right. There's just nothing in there to manifest. There was no life. Yeah. But I love the fact that I'm not like my dad. My dad's got the green thumb. I'll be the first person to be like, plant, 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 water, sun, good luck. I won't sit there and tend to it, but it will push through. Amen. It's a promise. Amen. It's a promise that I'm going to get something, right. And you'll get what you want out of it. You can either sit there and let the tomatoes ripen, and you can pick them and make sandwiches and make salsas, or you can let them rot. Right. What are you going to do with the seed? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to sit there? That's why, you know, for me and my house, I'm going to make it personal. For me and my house, for me and this flesh, this body, I am tired of trying to put my thinking on it. I'm trying to put limitations. I'm over here like, well, God, you said I get a new job, so I'll probably have more money. I'll probably have better hours. And no, work is work. Amen. Brother should have said that. Work was work. If it was work and it was fun, everybody would do it.
Right.
But no one does it. But there has to be a manifested work.
Amen.
There has to be a manifestation of that work. It's nice to say, oh, you know, I work really hard until you actually got to work. And then you're like, whoa, I'm going to stop you there.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go all the way.
Amen.
I'm not going to go halfway. So if he says, you know what? He says it in passing. We'll go ahead and have Seth get up on a Wednesday. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'll give you my schedule. That's all it takes.
That's right.
And you could have got up here and been like, well, you know what? Amen. I believe this thing 100%. I stand behind this. This is nothing but the truth. I can amen. To be thankful that you can amen every word.
Amen.
That you're not sitting there and be like, yes, yes. We'll come back to that.
Right.
Yes, yes. You can't pick and choose what you want. God didn't pick and choose what he wanted of you, thank God, because if he did, we'd be in trouble. Because I tell you what, I love the fact that he put a perfection in you.
Yeah.
He put a perfection.
Yeah.
He's not looking for this, well, I need you to look like this. I need you to look like this textbook Christian.
Right.
He says, I need you to be a willing vessel.
Amen.
I need you to get out of my way and let me do my work.
Amen.
Jesus was about his father's business at the age of 12 in the temple with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, no, well, you got me wrong. I have scripture to fulfill. I'm the living scripture.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit here and I'll speak personally because I don't want to sit down on God.
No.
It's not just a matter of sitting down on God. It's a matter of I want to put God in a box. I'm
right.
Like, well, God, you know, I really need you today, so let's get you out. No, I want to, you know, thank you, God, for the good times. Thank you, God, for the bad times.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for consistency. Because you know what? Throughout my life, you have brought my highs down and you have brought my lows up.
Amen.
And you've given me a solid foundation.
Amen.
If nobody else wants this, I'll take it.
Amen.
If you come back and you're looking for faith, you'll find it.
Right.
You'll find it with me because I will stand on that word. Because what you've done is you have given me consistency.
Amen.
You have given me a peace of mind.
Amen.
You have given me a rest.
Yeah.
When this world is falling apart, when this world is lost and just completely broken, when you're over here flipping through your phone and just cycling through things, looking for things to do, I'm not scrolling. I'm not confused. I'm not sad. I'm not caught up in Satan's system. But it's not because of something I did. It's because I realized, you know what? This is not helping. It's not helping. If it's not a benefit, it's a hindrance.
Amen.
You either turn or you burn.
That's right.
You're either in or you're out. It's not a matter of like, well, let's play. Brother Morris, you said you have one, your foot over the fence. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you in or are you out? Us believers, we're like, oh, I was wrong. Okay, well, now I'm right. As simple as that. I'll lay it down.
Yeah.
I come in here, if I come in with the wrong thinking, I'll drop it off for anything that pulpit or whatever the chair is.
Yeah.
But it's by that revelation, and you can't even have the revelation. There's nothing there to receive it. It's like a two-way radio. You have to have a frequency. It's set to a certain frequency. And that certain frequency, if your frequency is off, you'll miss it. You'll hit a dead line. There'll be no communication. But if you're on that right frequency, you tune it in just right, just a little bit, you'll hear all the secrets. You'll hear everything. If not, then you will be lost. So I am thankful. Like I said, there's going to be a people in the end that believe it. And you know, the revelations all said, I had the scripture. He said, they have a revelation of the rapture, whatever. It's not important. In fact, we believe it. You know, we believe it. We're not arguing about it. He said, there's a group of people who won't argue about it. There's no leaven. We're not confused. And to me, that is the most exciting thing. As I can come in here, I'm like, more, more, more. I'm over here where I don't even feel like I'm in a hindrance. Like, this is such freedom in this church where I can be like, you know what? I want the kids up here. I want to paint that thing over the door and not let Satan in. And I can say that and stand on that promise. And then when you go back and like, well, I'm having a rough time. Well, you know what? Uncle Seth or Brother Seth, he said this. Dad said this. You can hold to that. That's a promise. When you over here not worried about school shootings, you're not over here working about identity. You're over here, you know what? You know, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. It's not a complicated. You don't have to overcomplicate. You don't have to be like, well, I need evidence. I'm going to need you to show me I'm going to be okay. It comes to the mind. You say, you know what? Not today, Satan. That's as simple as that. Not today, Satan. Not today. And you know, some days you may fall. Woo. But you will get back up. I promise you. I promise you 100 times. I've fallen thousands of times. But that 1,001, I get right back up. I'm not sitting there. I'm not going to sit there and act like it's going to be easy. No, this life isn't easy. But you go through this life one time. Do you want to go through this life with your head hung down, looking for solutions in places where solutions aren't at? You want to hold your head up and be like, you know what? I tell you one place that never failed me.
That's right.
I tell you one place. This place has never failed me. This place has never failed me. And now I can truly see why people say, you know, you won't outlast me. Because I'm over here thinking to myself, like, man, what was I put in that situation where, you know, if I had to make a choice of, you know, family or job or this, I wouldn't, no. This has been consistent. Amen. This has been the place where it's like, oh, I have a question. You don't even know the questions that come through the door, yet they get answered. Where else? Unanswered questions, you know what I'm saying? We don't have those. You come in here just like, oh, I'm torn up, and just shakes a hand right there. He even meeted me in the parking lot, just like, hey, brother. And you text messages throughout the week saying, oh, can't wait to hear from you. I'm like, great. Great. I was quiet today. It was radio silence today. Well, there's an expectation because I know how I feel when I come here. Because you're over here like, oh. I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. But I didn't want to. I want that same energy when I come up here and say, you know what? I don't want a single service to go by without me saying something.
Amen.
To identify with this. It's gotten me this far. It's given me such a rest to where no matter what comes my way, I'm like, okay, cancer, okay, death, okay, loss, okay, emotional, no, anxiety, no, no. I can't even describe the rest that gives you. The fact, I mean, loved ones is great, yes. Loved ones is great, that's nice. But just to be right yourself.
Amen.
You got to get yourself right before you try to worry about your loved ones.
Amen.
You got to get your mind right before you're over here like, well, oh, I hope I see my loved ones again. Because you start saying, well, maybe. It starts being conditional.
Right.
Well, if they treat me right. No, you get your mind right, this too shall pass.
Amen.
You know, all things work together.
Right.
Seek ye first. That's a promise. That's the thing, though, is we treat these things like conditional things. Well, I guess if I should seek him now. No, you seek ye first. And the thing, though, is if you didn't do it right yesterday, you can seek him first right now.
Amen.
You can seek him right now.
Right.
You can stop what you're doing. You can seek him right now. And it's not something convoluted. It's not something crazy where you have to get up and be like, oh, I have to turn 3 times, bathe in the River Jordan 7 times.
No,
you know, I was wrong. That's the zeal of the hour. Just say I'm wrong. You'd be shocked how many times people don't just say, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know what? Just sometimes be like, you know what? Mom, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And even if you can't ever live up to it, I'll say sorry tomorrow. I'm still wrong. Until God makes it right, I'm wrong. But I love the fact that there's always just that one pill that we can take, that magic fix, which I'm still waiting for, which I'm still holding to, which is still a promise that it's an expectation at this point.
Amen.
You know, eventually promises become to the point where like, all right, Lord, I mean, it's late.
Right.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to start holding feet to the fire.
Right.
That's what he wants, though.
Amen.
He wants a manifestation. He doesn't want us to be like lapsed and be like, well, I guess, you know, we have a lot to do still 3 minutes. No, I love the fact that's not even, it's 3 minutes ago.
Right.
We're not even worried about time. We're like, okay, new day, let's go. Strange things happen. World's weird. Token's already applied. Everything's done. The lamb's been slain. The dead's already ready. What else am I going to do? It's by our words. which is the same words that God had, which is the same words that Jesus said. When you sit over here and look at these scriptures and these stories that you have, it's the same word and faith that I have. And it's how personal it has to be. Well, he's like, well, there's never been rain. There's never been a rapture. There's never been a body change. You know, he had to say, Lazarus, get up. I'm over here saying, bride, get up. I'm talking about a 2,000-year-old bride. 2,000-year-old bride. I'm like, get up, bride. I'm going to call up a lot of people. I can't even speak how many people are going to be up there, because it's going to be a lot of people there, a lot of people, brothers and sisters, a promise. I'm going to sit over here and be worried about what I'm going to do tomorrow? No, I don't want that. And that's my desire. And God sees that more than anything else. He doesn't see the fact that I'm over here, well, you did this. Well, no, Satan, nope. Mm-mm. He gave a promise to me. He gave a promise. You can't even touch me now. You can't even touch me. You know, once I always get the kick out of it, because as an hourly worker, which I am, when I clock out, I'm done. So when something happens after work, I'm like, well, you're going to have to call the after hours. It's not me. I'm done. You got to tell someone else your problems. You know, I have tried my best with the flesh. I realized that was wrong. I did this thing called repent and be baptized. And it wasn't this massive thing. It was just like, you know what? I ain't got it. But I'm going to tell you what. I'll find it. I know where it's at. I'll keep listening. I'll keep coming. You don't come over here and lift a bunch of weight the first time. You don't go shoot a gun straight the first time. You don't do anything right the first time. But you keep coming. You keep listening. That's a promise. You can't sit here and just expect to come one time and be like, yep, I'm good, I'm gone, and just that's it. That's a convenient Christian. We're not convenient Christians. I hate even using the fact Christians, because you start thinking about denomination. We are the bride body. We are an eternal attribute. We are a promise that we said, you know what, little bride? You're going to do what you got to do. You have our own little many-member bride. We have our own little paths we have to go. Some paths are good. Some paths are tougher. Some paths, you know, they go a little bit close to the dirt. But you know what? It's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. You know what? God still gets the glory. They're over here trying to think, well, trying to be hard on ourselves. Well, I didn't live up to this. Neither did I. I'll be the first person to say, neither have I. I haven't lived up everything Brother Moore says. And I tell you this, everything Brother Moore said, if you do it, you do it right. You'll benefit from it. There's blessings in God's word. But you know what? He always makes a way out. He always makes grace. I love that, because that's, again, a benefit for those that believe. If you don't believe it, you're over here like, well, I have no place in my heart for it. But because you believe it, guess where you're at on Wednesday night? Listen to old me here. You're like, oh, it's not even real. You know, preacher come. I'm sick. Well, God, you miss God. You miss God. That's your choice, though. But I tell you this, come Wednesday night, you can ask my kids. I'm like, ooh, Saturday and Wednesday, we don't play. Good to ask for friends to come over. They can come over Friday night. Saturday night, going to Sunday. We got a place to go. It's a priority, because what ends up happening, and all you can do with your kids, and I've learned it the hard way, is you just got to put that expectation. If you have a question, ask it. Amen. If you have a question, ask. And what better resource to use than your parents? Amen. What better resource to use? What better resource to use than the fivefold ministry? What better than our elders? Yeah. We pull on each other. Amen. We have so many resources here. We have financial. We have people in high-level college like Clark State. I mean, we got medical people out the wazoo. We got respiratory therapists. We got engineers. We got entrepreneurs. Yeah, management. And we're over here like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, you have not because you ask not. You have not because, you make it so complicated, like it's an individual walk. You got to go in a prayer closet and pray for something. You can literally ask a question, and you got to be careful asking that question, because you'll get God's answer. You'll not listen to it, and you won't be blessed. Because what you'll try to do is like, well, he said this, but I'm gonna do that. And what's going to happen is God still loves you. Amen. You're still one of his. It's going to be a little rough, a little bumpy. But you know what? You still come in here. He'll still look at you. welcome back. Amen. And he'll treat you like nothing ever changed. Amen. That's a voice of experience right there. That's on the test. That's on the test. But, you know, it's because we have that opportunity, because we come here, and we come here with open hands. We don't come here close-fisted. If you come here close-fisted, it's because you don't believe. What are you looking for? Why even come if you don't believe? Why even show up if you don't believe it? You're just wasting space. It gets to a point where at a certain speed, nothing's going to hold on. You're going to be, like Brother Mo always says about that bug. After a while, it can hold on at 15, 25, maybe even 35. But you hit those high speeds on the thing, you even flick that windshield wiper one time, gone. Gone. And I'm not even torn by it. You get a point where if you get strong enough and burned down, you're like, oh, I love that analogy. I thought you were a believer. And you just keep going. But it doesn't take 30, 40, 50 years. It just takes yielding. Amen. All they want is a yielded vessel. Amen. Look at Brother Isaiah, song leader. Song leader. Love it. I love this body. I love coming in and seeing these smiling faces. I don't want to take this for granted, because this is the one time I have to come in and be like, hey, little bride, is anyone else looking for a rapture? Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone else calling for our loved ones? Anyone else looking for somebody? I know I am. I'm looking for my loved ones. I know the fact that a body change will solve all my problems. It will solve all my loved ones' problems. It will solve all my loved ones' problems. The ones that are like, hey, I have that friend at work that has issues. A body change will fix that. Like, I had to question myself. I'm like, am I really calling for it? Or am I just saying, like, you know, touch him, Lord. Touch him. I've changed that since Brother Jay's procedure was touch him, Lord. There's my sacrifice. No, I'm like, I had conversations with myself. I'm like, you know what? I told myself, you know, if you're willing to put food and water in the desert for carriers of life, if you're willing to follow them through the desert, just keep them cool, how much of more of a believer? How much we go for a believer? We have Brother Jay, who's given his life, who's opened up his house as an example that you've set to the church, and has given his complete existence to you. There's going to be a liver. I had so much conviction. I was like, if he doesn't have a liver, you better take mine, because you're going to have to do something. That's how real it was. And I talked to myself over and over and over and over. It wasn't just like, well, Lord, I really hope he, good for him. No, it meant something. Amen. It meant something. That made me think. I'm like, am I really asking for the body change the right way? Am I really calling for it the right way? Or am I just being like, hey, you know what, Lord, whenever you're ready, things are nice, right? I'll wait till my bones hurt, and then I'll start really calling for it. No, I'm like, no, I'm waiting for that. I'm calling my name. I drive by 675. I'm like, Brother Childers, Sister Lois, Brother Danny, Brother Neil. That's four right there. Sister Sandy, that's five. They said we're two or three are gathered. I got a big vehicle like Brother Moore says, but it's, am I really calling for him that? Am I desperate enough? That desperation brings that manifestation. Until you're desperate, you're over here. It's just convenient. It's a convenient truth. It's like, well, I am in the eighth day, but whenever it happens, it happens. I have laxed. I have changed my thinking, because you know what? I thought, I was like, well, you know what? I hope they're not waiting on my voice, because they're going to be waiting for a little bit. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start praying different. I'm going to start praying for my loved ones different. I'm going to start praying for the request in here different. I'm going to start making it not so much as a work or a, because I don't want to get stuck in a rut. I want to balance on it. But I want to sit there and I want to be like, you know what? I'm sincere about this. Just as much as I'm sincere about getting up here and being like, that's nothing but the truth. I want to be, that's nothing but a truth. And that's, where's my body change? I want to be that kid that annoys God until he gets it to me. Where's my body change? You said I had a body change. Where's my body change? Eventually, like, okay, here it is. Take it. I want to be that kid. I know how my kids do it. They're like, just take it. Just take it. You ask enough. He said, because you said in your word, I have not because I ask not. So let me just ask more. Let me annoy you. Let me persist. I don't want to sit there and be lax. I'm like, well, you know, things are good, God. Let me wait till the bad hits.
Right.
Where's my body change when it's awesome?
Amen.
When my body change when it's not so good?
Amen.
When my body change when I'm doing good? Amen. My flesh looks good.
Yeah.
When's my body change when my flesh looks bad?
Amen.
Where's it at?
Amen.
It's not any different. It's a consistent thing. He's like, well, it's whenever you're ready, I'm ready. I've never changed my word. I said you'll be changed the moment the truth came out. We've been done since 63.
Right.
What are you waiting for?
Right.
Where's my body change?
Amen.
So I am so thankful that I get to come in here and just say, you know what?
Right.
I'm thankful for a sound mind.
Yes.
I'm thankful that you put something in me that I can even believe.
Amen.
Because I wouldn't have any of these benefits. No token, no loved ones, no eternal security, no salvation, no peace of mind. If I didn't believe.
Amen.
So, Lord, I am going to put all my emphasis, all my energy. Lord, I ask myself to put my hands and let me just be a willing vessel.
Amen.
That was beautiful. It was. Thank God for being here this evening. Tell you what, this place is beautiful. It really is. I love this message. I really do. I mean, you yield to God. God will do some wonderful things. He really will. First off, I wanted to take my time because, you know, I didn't want to rush. I wanted to take my time with this. Last time I got up, you know, of course you get nervous. You get jitters and stuff like that, because you know you're dealing with God. You can't just come up here and just half step. You got to bring it. So I told myself that I wanted to take my time with it, and so I wanted to just testify first before I get into what I'm going to talk about. I thank God for being here. Like I said, I really do. I generally do. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The Sunday nights that we've been having, I've been loving it, because we can let our hair down. You know what I mean? We can talk. We can really be a family in here. You know what I mean? And we can talk about personal things that we couldn't talk to anybody else, because we all understand each other. And it's a beautiful thing, and I really do love that, because you can't do that with your family. You can't do that, because they don't understand you. They don't. But we understand each other. We really do. We know there's no judgment. I told myself that rowdy sign, you can put no judgment zone back there, because that's what it is. No, there's no judgment back here. It's not. We understand. We understand you. I mean, you know, we come with correction here, but the correction here that we get here is to help you in life, because if you don't have that, it's going to make your life that much harder. Not saying you can't make it. You'll make it. You know you can. You'll make it. It's just that you're just going to go a harder way. And
Amen.
Why not just listen to, you know, what God tells you?
Right.
So, you know, that's a beautiful thing, and I do love that. So you guys can turn with me to Timothy. It's got just one scripture. It's going to be 2 Timothy. It's going to be chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. You guys are ready? I'll go ahead and read. So it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The title that I put tonight is Focusing on the Prize.
Amen.
And to show you how God works, because, you know, I was battling, I was trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about, but you know what? It ain't me. It's God. I can't come up with anything. Whatever God leaves on my heart. And when I was listening to Seth, to show you how it works, I'm going to talk about the same thing that Seth was talking about. It just ties right in. I was like, I didn't text Seth. He didn't text me. He said, hey, what are you going to preach about? I didn't text him. But God knows what we need. God knows everything we need. We don't have to figure it out or anything like that. So I love that. That's why it shows you that it's all God. It is. So I'm going to take my time. Like I said, I'm going to break it down. And the one thing that Brother Moore has taught us, he said, no matter what you talk about, bring it up to this day. So, and that's what I'm going to do. So just bear with me. I'm going to get some notes, and I'm going to bring it up throughout the day, and I'll sit on down. So when Seth, you know, prayed for the kids, you know, that's the first thing that I put on my list is the kids that we have in this the church. We got young, we got all types of ages. They're dealing with a different type of age than I was when I was going to school. Different spirits you're dealing with. And I put down, you know, one of the examples, you got bullying. Kids are getting bullied for any of things. I mean, they're getting bullied for, you know, just taking a stand, even loving God, or just maybe wearing long dresses as sisters, or maybe men, you know, not cutting their hair, or just wearing, just being presentable. The second thing I got, you got school shootings. We all know that. I mean, it's rampant. Every other day is a school shooting. You know, it's sad. It really is. When I was going to school, I was getting mad about just not getting a Chick-fil-A sandwich on Wednesday. You know, I that's what I had to worry about. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about a school shooting at all. And, you know, now the kids have to worry about so much. And, you know, but the thing about it, the bride doesn't have to worry about that. We got that. But they, you know, they're in this world and they have to deal with it. It's just, it's sad for the world. It really is. It tears you up. Another thing I put an identity crisis. We all know now it's like, it's sad because you got men that want to be women. You got women that want to be men. I was watching a show yesterday with Sway. I forgot what show it was. So we had a young lady, and you had a man that wanted to be a woman. But the problem is, he wanted to be a woman, but you can tell he was still trying to be, he had the voice of a man. So I'm like, that's how twisted our world is. It's like, you know, you can't even be content with how God made you. You know, and I told Sway, I told her, I said, you know, on the first date, I said, look, she's dated a guy that she, that was nowhere near. I'm not even know her type at all. If you guys see the people that she dated, I was like, look, I was nowhere near that at all. I wasn't. I was just like, I don't think I guess you see me as God. That's all I have to really offer you, because I was like, wow. But I told her, I said, you know what, thing about me that I'm content, I love that I am happy with myself. God made me who I am. I'm not worried about having to go to a gym and just trying to impress another man or anything like that. I can care less. I am who I am. And I'm glad about that. I really am, because you got to come to a point where you have to be content with how God made you. You can't be worrying about trying to fix this, fix that. You got women that don't like anything. They got short hair, they want long hair. They're big, they want to be skinny. Just skinny, want to be big. I'm like, you're never content. I mean, you can play this game all day long. You know what I mean? You have to come to a point, thank God for who you are. Just thank God. Because, I mean, just we're wonderfully made. God couldn't have picked a better bride. You know, we use that term of ragtag. We ain't rag. We're not raggedy. We're not. I refuse to be called raggedy, because I'm not raggedy. I'm not raggedy. I'm not. I am not raggedy. God made me who I am. Either you accept me or you're not. That's it. I know I'm going. I ain't worried about that. There's no question in my mind about that. I don't bat an eye. I know we're going, and I really take offense, because we do. We have a strong body here. Oh, yeah. We do. We have, like Seth said, we have engineers. We got people with high degrees. We've got doctors. I mean, we've got so much here. It's like we have a benefit here. We do, and we overlook it and call it ragtag. No, Satan, you're a liar. You ain't raggedy. We're not raggedy. We're not. We're not raggedy at all. So take time to think of, like, you know what? You're right. We got a strong body here. We overcome a lot of stuff in this world. We do. And we don't let it get us bogged down. I mean, who you know can get through what we get through in life like that and still keep our head up? And you tell me that's not God? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Don't talk to me about that. You can't talk to me about that. You just can't. I mean, I know too much. I've been coming here long enough, and I know that it's not the years, it's in the yielding. But I've seen God move so much since I've been here, even in my own life, that God is real. He's true. He is true to his word, and those promises and focuses on the prize, they will come to pass. Amen. They will. It's only a matter of time when it comes to pass. So these abortion clinics, these fighting for everything, the bride doesn't worry about that. We don't. We know it's going to be like that. Is it sad? Yes, it's sad. I mean, we can say that all day. I mean, I don't like that. Even though I don't have kids, I've been told it too. You don't have no kids. You don't know what kids are like. You know what? I've been hearing everything else that's done about me. I'm like, look, it is sad. I don't agree with it, but God's plan is bigger than what you think. So I'm not going to put my thinking on anything. I'm not going to do that. I refuse to. God's plan is always right, no matter what you think or how it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? God's going to make this right. He always will. He always will. He always has a plan. So, and like I said, I have wrote some notes, and I just want to take my time, you know? So, another thing I put to, yeah, so feeding the poor. You know, we talked about the poor, and the poor being always... So everybody knows I DoorDash. So I, in Huber, there's usually it's couples that sit outside the store that always begging. And, you know, my heart breaks for them. It does. I mean, because you don't even appreciate what we have. Sometimes you don't thank God for having a roof over your head. Don't appreciate the car you got. Don't appreciate the parents you guys got. I mean, the kids, you guys should be thankful that you have a mom and dad that brings you to church. Because they're guarding you. They're keeping you safe. When you could be out there dealing with those spirits out there. I mean, I heard Alicia when she got up Sunday night and she said she left the bar. And I told myself, she's strong because I wouldn't even be in the bar. I mean, because there's so many different spirits. You're dealing with drunk people. You're dealing with fights. And she's a young lady. I'm a man and I wouldn't even want to deal with that. Because it's just the atmosphere. It's just nonsense. I don't want to be in an atmosphere like that. Those spirits can overtake you quick. If you don't put God first and like that, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And you really are. I mean, Satan is real. He is. I mean, and if you don't combat something like that, he's going to take you for a ride. Amen. Jeremiah even said that he's going to leave you in that dance for just swinging around because you're going to be like, where are you at? If you don't yield to it quick. And I'm like, you know what? That's so true because Satan won't. He don't care. He can keep you on this side thinking you're too good, or he can think a side that you just, you know, that I don't need him. I mean, he keep you. He don't care what side you're on. Brother Moore's right. He do not care. He does not care how he was. And if you don't yield to that, if you don't listen to God, you'll be taken for a loop. You will. And, you know, my heart breaks, too, because, you know, I have friends here. I mean, friends that I grew up with, you know, and does it break my heart? It does. But you know what? I'm still holding that promise. They're going to still be there no matter what. Are they going to suffer in the side in the sense? You know what? They might. But you know what? I'm still holding them. They're going to be in heaven with me. They will be in heaven. I'm not letting Satan talk to me about that. Let them have their fun out in the world. Do what they got to do. At the end of the day, I don't care what happens as far as what happened to them in that sense. But you know what? I'm holding on to that. I'm still focusing on that prize that God's told me that I can take my loved ones with me. And I'm going to hold on to that. I'm not letting Satan talk to me out of that. I'm not. It's my promise. And I want that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to let that deteriorate from me and get me bogged down because the bride knows what it is. We know what it is. Like we said on a Sunday, on the bus, we on that bus. We just waiting right now. We got a full ride. We just waiting. We just got our feet up just waiting. So I love that. I really do because we don't have to wonder and wait, like, you know, this world order and get caught up in that because this world order would never be the same. You know, I don't have the scripture, but I know Brother Branham said, he said that you could put Abraham Lincoln on every corner. Every corner. Now you think, I don't know if he said it in 63, Brother Moore, but he said that, it's still the truth. And he said it so long ago. We're in 2024 now, and look what happened. Things still ain't changed. So why are you batting an eye thinking that's going to, it's not going to change. It's not going to get any better. It's not. So stop focusing on that and focus on the prize. Amen. Focus on the prize. Focus on the prize because God's going to honor what he says he's going to do. And even with me, there's times you get so bogged down because you'll let Satan talk to you. You'll think this is too hard. God knows the situation before you know it. He does. He knows you're going to make a way out of it. He knows that. He knows that. He knows that. And I thank God for that because God is a real God. He really is. He is a real God. And he knows what you need. And I would employ anybody on Sunday nights. If you can make it here because it's been a benefit. It really has. I mean, stop letting the distractions get you so caught up with what you're doing on Sunday night. You're not doing that important that you can't be on Sunday night. You just can't. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here now. So I'm just here. But come to church. And I'm not saying that. I know things happen. There's times I can't make it because if Sway has something going on, if she needs me, I get it. But if you can make it Sunday night, come. Because it's a benefit. It's a blessing because you don't realize you guys helped me even in my life just sitting there and I'm passing the mic around, doing what I'm having to do, and just listening to your testimony. It's helped me out a lot. You don't realize it's helped me and it's blessed me. It really has because we're dealing with some real life stuff here. We are. I mean, I heard Brother Don when he was, you know, he cried about his son. He's a man that really wants his son back here. I mean, Adam, we all know Adam. Adam was a great minister when he was here. And I do believe he believed this. He just caught up in whatever he's caught up with. And I do believe that Adam, Michael, Chris, all of the ones that left, I expect them to be here. I'm holding on to that. I want them here. I do, because they have a job that hours too late. We don't even tell them messing around like that. What I tell Sway, they're on a vacation right now. They're on vacation right now. And I'm kind of jealous because I go on vacation. I don't get to go on vacation for months at a time. They've been gone for years. I'm like, no, you need back here. I'm fighting this fight. You need to be in church, man. You got to be in church. We got work to do. We ain't got time for you to be sitting around like that. You believe this. You can't tell me you don't believe this. You guys have some great parents that know you, that gave you the word, and you out there doing what you're doing. You know better. I don't know if it's shame, whatever. We love everybody that left here. There's no qualms about anything. We want you back here. But you know what? I told myself, too, if they don't, I'm focusing on that prize. They're still going. It's still going. So, Brother Don, you know what? We're gonna still hold on to that. We still are. We still got it. My mom's not here. And, you know, I want her to be here, and I know she's battling her mind and stuff like that. But I told Satan, you know what? You ain't got my mind. You don't. You don't. I'm praying each and every day until I see that manifest and she be back there again. I expect her mind to be right. I do. I want her mind to be right. I do. I'm expecting healing for Sway. I want her body because Satan's attacking her. But that's all it is to Satan. And I know all his tricks. I don't get bogged down by it. I don't. I told Sway, because I think she sometimes she gets on me about it because you're not a crier. I said, babe, if I cry like you did, we wouldn't get nowhere. We wouldn't. We would not get nowhere. I love her, but I'm like, babe, I love you, but I'm not gonna yield to that. I'm not gonna do it. Because I know that God's a real God. He's gonna make a way. He's gonna make a way. And there's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. So just focus on it and focus on that prize. So with that being said, I love this place. I love being here, and I love the opportunity that Brother Morris gave us to get up here and just testify. Because you know, it's not even that we're ministers and like that. No, it's just that you just give them God back to God. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's just helping the body. You know, I mean, I look at Brother Moore and Jeremiah and Jay, you know, we don't bat an eye, but they have things going on in their life. They got jobs. They got kids. They got the pressure of the world, too. But we come in expectation for them to preach every Sunday. We expect that. We do. But it shouldn't be on those three brothers. It shouldn't be always on them. Us brothers can say something. Even if you got up to say, hey, I love God. God's been good to me. You know, thank you for just, you know, just giving me help. Something. Just say something. I don't care if you're so shy. You got to turn around like this and just talk like this. Say something. Just say something. Just you. Just you. I mean, I would never thought in a million years I'll be up here right now. Me, a little Kevin, I'm surprised. But you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. Whatever I'm saying, I want to edify the body. Whatever you can take from me, I just want to edify. That's it. I just want to yield to God. And I'm learning more and more now that if you yield to God, you can never mess up. Never mess up. So I love you guys. And if you guys don't hear me, I say it again. I love you guys. I don't, you know, we might not have the close relationship, stuff like that. But you know what? I'm there for you. If you need me, I'm there. And you can say, I mean, you can hold me to it. I've set it up now. You hold me to it. If you need me, I'm there. Because I really genuinely, I respect this body so much that I see God in each and every one of you guys. I do. I don't look about the problems or anything like that, what you got going, because I got problems too. So I can't sit there and talk about you when I messed up many of times. And I've asked God, Lord, forgive me. Because I was like thinking, like, what? I was a mess. But you know what? Even through all of that, I still love God. And I still know what that prize is. I still know what that prize is. So with that being said, come on, Brother Moore.
You know, some people would wonder, why you get these brothers up? Why don't you get a preacher up? And I ain't got time to listen to brothers. I want to hear a preacher. I ain't reading your mind. I'm just saying. It doesn't matter who's up here. It's the word, not the personality. Not the position. Yeah, I know the preachers has a gift, but the gift is to get out of the way. When the brothers get up here, the gift is the same. Get out of the way. And so you say, well, I didn't get nothing out of tonight's service. I won't come when the brothers are getting up. When, you know what? We're all brothers. You know, and God can feed you out of anybody that's in this place. And if you come with the right attitude, and if you come expecting, then God can talk to you. He talks from the beginning of the service all the way to the end. If you don't hear from God until the preacher gets up and reads the scripture, then you've missed half of God's service. And that's what I try to get across to people over the years, is don't wait till the preacher get up to say, I'm going to hear from God. And I've seen times where a preacher or somebody would get up and get anointed, and they preach before the preacher get up, and then people are sitting. And I closed the service out before. I said, if you're waiting for the preacher, you miss God, because I'm closing us out. I'll close us out in a minute if I feel like God's already said what He needs to say, and I've done it before and caught people off guard. But that's okay, because you know what? You need to learn how to listen for God. And how do you know it's God? Because He speaks after His word. And it doesn't matter which one of us brothers get up here. If we get up here and get out of the way, and the word of God comes out of His lips, then you should receive it as though it was coming from William Branham himself. So that's why I do what I do. I'm giving you brothers a chance to exercise and learn how to get out of the way and let God use you. You know, me and Jay and Jeremiah, yeah, we'll preach. We'll carry the services and we'll do that. And we are looking for preachers. We're always looking for preachers. I had to looking for preacher sign on the door for 30 years. So I never stopped looking. But if God should get on somebody and they got a ministry and a gift and it edifies a body, what do you expect I'm going to do? So use the gift that God has given you. Like Kevin said, if you have to get up here and turn your back, you say, I don't want to see none of y'all. Get up here and turn your back and preach. The microphone will pick you up. And the body will pick you up. Because you know what I'm looking for when I'm sitting there? I'm listening for the word. And when the word comes forth, I'm expecting to hear from God. And when I hear him, there he is. They say something else, there he is. Because you know, everybody that gets up here, they're going to come from a different angle. They're going to come from where they're standing. Nobody in this church can see me exactly like the person in this church that's sitting in another seat to see me. Every one of us is seeing from a different angle. And so when brothers get up, they come from where they back their mail from where they're at, as Brother Spencer used to say. And so you don't want me to get the brothers up? You don't want the word to be edifying to the body? Then I don't know what you expect. Because I'm looking for God. I'm not looking for personalities. And so I appreciate the brothers giving that time and doing those things. And I expect that the body go home full tonight. You say, well, I didn't even take any notes because the preacher didn't preach tonight. I got 2 pages of notes. So if you didn't get any notes, come back next time. Maybe you'll do better. If you didn't see God here tonight, then you just missed him. But that's all right. And I don't know why I'm going down this avenue, but I'm just reminding us. Don't come here and miss God. So don't come here and just because you say, well, it's not you or it's not Jeremiah or Jay. The rest of the brothers just getting the brothers up and wasting time. You're missing God. Don't miss God. Now, Brother John wants a prayer cloth. I didn't forget. Come on up here, brother, because we're going to pray. And we're going to pray. And we've seen God take these cloths and do something. Now, he said he wanted one for somebody. I didn't even ask him who. It doesn't even matter because God knows. So we're going to pray. He's a believer. We're believing God. And we're going to ask God to move on his behalf. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Brother John has come here and asked for this cloth. Lord, in the Bible they did this and sent it out. And Father, the faith that went with the cloth is what touched the people. And Lord, we ask you to send forth your word to whatever the need is and ask you to just move on his behalf so that he can come back and give a testimony of how you've blessed and how you've answered prayer. We thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. You need one? Daisy? Okay. Well, don't go nowhere. Let me get another cloth up. You want one too? I will get you one too. You say, well, why are you giving those kids prayer cloth? Because they got more faith than you? You know I'm after the devil. I ain't after y'all personally. But, you know, I got to black the devil's eye. Because, you know, they think our kids don't have no faith. You know, and Jesus said, suffer not the children. Don't keep them back. He said, well, wait till they get older, then when they know what the prayer cloth is for. They know. That's why they ask. And they got faith that God can move. And so I believe that God's going to bless them so that they can come back and testify to you to let you know that their faith is real. So I need 2 hands here, yours and yours, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, our sisters both come asking for a prayer cloth. And Lord, we don't need to know the reasons, but you know the reasons. Their faith says, if I take this cloth and put it to where it needs to be, Father, that you'll move and answer the prayer. And Lord, it's according to the word of God. And Father, we want to just ask you to bless them and their faith. And Lord, let them come back with a testimony that you have done what they ask you to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's one for each of you.
Amen.
You need one? Okay, Anita got another one. Amen. This is according to the word of God. And we have seen it move. we're not telling you things. Two more? You want two or you want one more? Okay. Okay. Three more. One, two, and three. But we have seen God move. And people have come back with testimonies. You say, well, how does that work? Huh? One more. Yeah. A friend of a friend. We know how that goes. Amen. But we are believers here. And those who want the cloths, come up front, because I want y'all's hands on it. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this evening, Lord, as believers, knowing that your word said that you, by your stripes, were healed. Lord, each of these cloths are going to four different directions, and Lord, you know what the needs are, and ask you to just, Lord, do the answer the prayer and solve the problem and bring healing to the body or whatever the needs are. And Father, let these four that have these cloths come back with a testimony that you have answered the prayers that they sent forth. We thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's see. That one or that two? That's two. One more. It's a little bit bizarre. Amen. Thank God for the body. Thank God for faith. Yes, Brother Rosaldo, I don't know. We got a picture of him, and I don't know, is it before the surgery or after?
It was after.
That was after?
Yeah, that was him posting on Facebook that he got through the surgery and had the kidney transplant.
I'm telling you, he was looking good. He was looking good. And that's why I didn't know whether it was before the surgery or after, because I was like, He had the hospital gown on, but he was standing up there smiling. I thought, well, God bless him. So he has been waiting for years, and God has answered his prayer. So we appreciate that, and we'll stay in touch with him. And I think I'm going to have a trip coming up, because I'm going to have to go see him again. And if nothing else, it's just go visiting. I am so happy for him. And what God's done for him. And he really, really looks good. And you just keep praying for him that he'll continue on his recovery. Amen. Don't forget the announcements. Come back on Sunday morning, and we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. If the Lord says I'm a blessing, what you gonna say about it? Amen. Amen. If the Lord says I'm a blessing, then I am. And if the Lord says I am salt, then I am. And if the Lord says I'm then I'm offered in this world. If the Lord says I am, then I am. Sing.